We've begun a journey together, God's will, journey of a lifetime. We're going to spend the next 3 or 4 weeks together discovering a couple of things. One, that finding God's will is not nearly as difficult as we usually make it. It's usually a lot more simple than we realize. And two, that God's will simply means, what does God want? And once we understand what He wants, then we're able to live accordingly. And as we begin this discussion, we started last week. We started where you have to start. If you're going to understand God's will, you have to start by meeting the first two conditions. Those first two conditions we found in Romans chapter 12, where he tells us to make our bodies a living sacrifice and don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when you're willing to put your life on the line and say, God, I'm yours. Here is my life. I'm giving myself sacrificially to you. And then when you are willing to say, I want to be changed. I want to change my thinking to your way of thinking instead of the world's way of thinking. When you meet those two conditions, then you're demonstrating that you are ready to begin the journey. And so last week we talked about beginning the journey. This week I want us to talk together about follow the leader. Once we begin the journey, the good news is we have someone who will lead us on the journey. God is the leader who leads us into and through His will. That's how this thing works. He leads us. One of the mistakes that I have made for most of my life is that I have prayed, God, show me your will. Show me where I'm headed. I want to know the destination. And you know what I've learned? God rarely, if ever, tells us where we're headed to. He's more worried about how we get through to that place. He's much more concerned about how we faithfully continue our journey as we follow Him than He is in making sure that we wind up from point A to point B. The journey is the life of faith. So as we understand His will, we begin to understand how He leads us, not just to a place, but through life to where He wants us to be. So this morning, as we talk about follow the leader, we can break God's will down into two simple ideas: how God leads us and how we follow Him. How God leads us and how we follow Him. That's the two simple ideas that come together to help us understand how He leads us in His will. So let's look at those two things. First, we're going to look at how God leads us. Then we'll look at how we follow Him. How God leads us. First, He leads us out of our old life. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, I'm in Genesis today, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Go over to chapter 12. We're going to begin at verse 1. God leads us out of our old life. Look here at chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. When Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came, in other words, this is how they came to the land of Canaan. Did you notice the first thing that happened? By the way, this is chapter 12 actually marks a very important point in the Bible, a very important point in human history. The first 11 chapters are basically the story of creation, and God started that part of the story by speaking. Now, chapter 12 begins the story of redemption. We begin to see in chapter 12 how God plans to redeem that fallen creation. And it too begins with Him speaking. And He speaks to Abram. The Lord said to Abram, and look at what He said. Go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house. He says to Abram, leave everything you know. God rarely calls us today to leave everything we know, to leave our culture and our family and our home. He rarely does that, but He always calls us to leave our old life, whatever that is. When God calls us to follow Him as a disciple, when He calls us into a journey of His will, He's always going to call us to leave the life we built for ourselves. You see, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve your plan for your life and God's plan for your life. That's why you have to start by making your body a living sacrifice. You give up who you are so He can make you who He intended you to be. He always calls us to leave our old life. That's how Jesus did it in the New Testament as well. You remember when He called His disciples in chapter 4 of Matthew, walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. They were defined as fishermen. That was their life. And He said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left the nets and followed Him. And going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And He called them, and they immediately left the boat and their father and followed Him. You see, He calls us out of our old life. Jesus stepped up to those disciples who were defined as fishermen, and He says, I've got something new for you. I've got something different for you. And they left their nets, they left their boat, they left their dad, and followed Jesus. I think many of us miss out on being in God's will simply because we're not willing to change. When God has a purpose for us, we have to get to the point where we say, God, Your purpose is more important than my purpose, and I'm willing to let You change me into who You want me to be. God wants to lead us to bigger and better things. Don't miss out on that just because you're too comfortable where you are. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Why would He say that? Well, you know, when they had to plow, about the only way to keep that straight, keep that plow going straight, you pick an object on the other side of the field. Maybe it's a tree, maybe it's a fence post, whatever it is. You pick an object out there and you keep that as your focus, and you keep plowing, watching that thing out there so that you're able to plow in a straight row. If you're plowing and y'all, you're looking back the whole time, there's no way you're going to accomplish your task. So Jesus says, if you follow Me, you don't keep looking back in your old life. You don't keep longing for what used to be. You decide that you're willing to change and you move forward to what I have for you. That, by the way, is the whole point of the story of Lot's wife. He says, y'all leave the old life. Don't turn back. They started to leave, and she thought, man, I sure did used to enjoy those Tupperware parties. Golly, I bet the girls are playing bridge. Man, I wish I could be back with my old people. And you know what happened, right? God turns her into a pillar of salt to say, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Beloved, God has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. And He leads us out of the old life. Walk away from it if you have to. Walk away from who you used to be so that you can become who God wants you to be. He leads us out of our old life. Secondly, how God leads us? He leads us to sacrifice. He leads us to sacrifice. True discipleship costs something. Again, that's why Paul says that we're to be living sacrifices. Here he told Abram, the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house. It was going to cost him a great deal. He had to leave everything he knew. He had to leave the comfort of home. He had to leave the culture that he understood. He had to leave his family, the one who raised him. And that's not that different from the way God calls us. He calls us to sacrifice, to demonstrate our willingness to follow. Again, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now here he is not saying to be rebellious and hate your parents and turn around and be mean to them and hateful and rude. He's simply saying that by comparison, if your love for me doesn't make your love for your parents pale in comparison, then you don't love me enough. If your love for your parents doesn't almost look like hate compared to your love for me, then you don't love me enough. He says, I've got to be the Lord of your life, not just one of them. I'm the master if you're really going to be my disciple. He leads us to sacrifice. And only that which is worth dying for is really worth living for. Think about that for a moment. Only that which is worth dying for is really worth living for. If His will is that important, then you're willing to let self die on that sacrifice, on that altar. How badly do you really want to be in God's will? What are you willing to pay for it? How does God lead? He leads us out of our old life. He leads us to sacrifice. And He leads us one step at a time. Notice this verse again. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. To the land which I will show you. He didn't even tell Abram where he was going. He said, get up and go and trust me enough that eventually you're going to wind up where you're supposed to be. That is incredible to me. You know, before the time of GPS, we used maps. Some of y'all have never seen those things that once you unfold them and look at them, you can't fold them back. You unfold this thing, and how does a map work? You figure out where you're headed. You look at your destination. And then once you look at your destination, you look at where you are, and you figure out how to get from point A to point B. In the day of GPS, we think differently. Because now, I don't have to know how to get from point A to point B. I plug in that destination, and then I just drive. Turn left. Okay. Half a mile, turn right. Okay. Recalculating. I got a Texan one. It says, oops, you done messed up. We got to figure it out again. the GPS. I don't have to understand where I'm headed or how to get there. I just do what I'm told. I think God works more like the GPS than he does the map. But there's even a bigger difference than that, because for the GPS to work, I have to put in the destination. Sometimes God doesn't even tell us that. He says, you leave your old life, you sacrifice yourself, and you trust me. One step at a time. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. Jesus went up from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. You notice Jesus never said to Matthew, I want you to follow me for 3 years. After the end of 3 years, I'm going to die on a cross. Then you're going to look for me. You're not going to know where I am. You're going to wonder what happened, and then I'm going to show up to you again. And then once I show up to you again, I'm going to get you so excited, you're going to start telling the world about me. And as you tell the world about me, they're going to hate you, and they're going to kill you. He just said, follow me. One step at a time. And you know, I used to think, man, it sure would be easier if I knew where I was headed. If I had an idea, if I knew my destination, that would be so much easier. This is hard, one step at a time. But you know, now, as I look back over my life, I'm glad he didn't tell me what was happening. Can you imagine, as a freshman in high school, when he was clarifying my call into ministry, if he had said to me, as a freshman in high school, once you get through high school, you're going to stay in school 10 more years. And then you're going to go to a little country church where they don't trust preachers. And then you're going to leave that little country church where they don't trust preachers. And you're going to settle in and have a family in a place where 90% of the population claims a different denomination than you. And then there's going to be a big disaster, and we're going to put you on a board where half the town's going to hate you. Yeah, God, sign me up, baby. Lord, don't you have anything? Don't you have a spot in the Amazon somewhere where I could be a missionary and work with cannibals or something? Golly. Aren't you glad that we can trust him to know where we're headed even when we don't? Because you know, now as I look back, I wouldn't change a thing. Well, maybe the board, but other than that, I wouldn't change a thing. Really. I wouldn't change it at all. But if he had showed it to me before I started the journey, there's no way I would have bought into it. He didn't tell Abram, this is what we're going to do. He just said, I need you to leave and trust me. That's the way his will works. You and I keep wanting him to show us the big picture. And then, God, show me the big picture, and then I'll decide if I want your will or not. He says, that's not the way it works. You prove that you want my will, and I'll show you step by step where we're headed. That's tough, but you know what? That's discipleship. So we have to learn that when we talk about his will, we don't get the big picture. We trust the one who sees the big picture all the time. In Hebrews, there is this great chapter 11 that we call the Hall of Faith. It talks about these Old Testament heroes. And in the verse that talks about Abraham, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Can you do that today? Can you say, God, I will follow. Step by step, I will follow you. I decided not to do it today in the children's sermon because we did it just a few weeks ago, but I almost played follow the leader today in children's sermon. We had done it so recently I decided not to, but if you think about follow the leader, all you can do in follow the leader is watch the guy in front, and when he does stupid stuff, you do stupid stuff. You don't know where he's going to go. You just follow him step by step. And that day we did the follow the leader thing. We started over here and we wound up over here. What if I had just said while we're sitting here, hey gang, we're going to go over there. All they'd have to do is scoot over and they were there. Instead, we played follow the leader and we walked all the way around and we did the fun things. And it was all about the journey, not the destination. That is God's will. Stop thinking about God's will as the destination, the plan, the big picture, because He's not going to show you that. Instead, understand that God's will is, you're here, the next step is here. Come on, my beloved, I'm with you. That's God's will. One step more. Come on, beloved, I'm with you. That's His will. He leads us one step at a time. He led the children of Israel through that wilderness experience by fire, with fire by night and with a cloud by day. He never did say, over yonder is where you're headed. You can just go over there to the river and wait for me. He said, here we go. We're wandering and you're following day by day. Now, you remember we just finished Not a Fan. And the key verse for Not a Fan was Mark 9:23. It says, if you really want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Now think about these three things that we've already learned this morning about God's will. He leads us out of our old life. Deny yourself. He leads us to sacrifice. Take up your cross daily. He leads us one step at a time. Follow me. You see how God's plan works together perfectly. This is how He works in the life of His people. All right, moving very quickly then. One more way that God leads us, He leads us with promises. Man, this is powerful stuff. Look at what He said. After He said this amazing statement, leave your country, leave your relatives, leave your father's house to a land I'm going to show you later. Then what does He say? I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Seven blessings, seven promises. Seven is the perfect number. In other words, God's promises are perfect. In other words, God always keeps His word. That's why we can stand on the promises. That's why we're able to take step after step after step as He promises us every step along the way. When we don't understand, He promises us all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purposes. See, we like the first half of that. Everything works together for good, so just kind of hang on and wait. No. He says His promise is all things work together for good for those who love Him and are the called according to His purposes. We love Him and we are following Him. We're living according to His purpose. Then the plan is He'll work even the bad stuff out for good. His promise is, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. His promise is, I can give you peace, a peace that passes understanding. His promise is, I give you my Holy Spirit. I give you my Holy Spirit within to guide and to strengthen and to teach you. Promise after promise after promise. The Word is full, hundreds of promises that He gives us to help us along this journey. He leads us with promises. And then finally, God leads us with purpose. He leads us with purpose. He had a plan. You see, it was important for God to separate Abram from his culture, his home, his family, because God was ready to begin a whole new nation. In God's wisdom, He did not choose to change that nation where Abram was. God wanted to create a whole new nation from which would eventually come the Savior of the world. And so He had a purpose in bringing Abram out. It was so that He could create an entirely new nation, and from that nation, bring Christ. His will is consistent with His wisdom. Another way of saying that, God knows what He's doing. His will is consistent with His wisdom. In other words, He knows what He's doing. Because of that, we know we can trust Him. So the Lord leads, God leads, out of your old life. He leads you to sacrifice. He leads us one step at a time. He leads us with promises and with purpose. And then we have to understand, how do we follow? That's how he leads. So how do we follow him? And very simply put, we follow him when we trust. Again, the passage in Hebrews reminds us that Abraham had a life over here in this world, in this nation, with this family, and God called him to do something new, and he left. He trusted, even though he didn't know where he was going. How do we follow him? We trust. And can you guess the next one? Obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We trust that when he's telling me to take the next step, that I can trust him, that he's going to be there with me every step along the way, and that there's a reason for that step, that I'm headed in some direction that he wants me to go. I trust him each step along the way. But it's not enough to trust him. I can be back here and I can know that God wants me to take that step, and I can say, I know if I take that step, he's going to be there. I know if I take that step, I'm going to be headed in the right direction. I know God loves me and he's leading me to take that step. I trust him. But if I never take the step, I'm still out of his will. He leads, but I have to follow. And so I trust and obey. You see there in verses 4 and 5 of our text, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his nephew, all their possessions and all their people. They set out for the land of Canaan, and this is how they came to the land of Canaan. God led. Abram trusted and obeyed. That's how we follow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you have a will, that will includes and pertains to the journey. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to follow you. Help us to trust and obey. Help us to listen. Help us to desire your purpose for our lives more than our own. Father, we do want to be your people and to recognize you as our God. Forgive us when our priorities get mixed up. Forgive us when we forget you. Forgive us when we get selfish and we climb off that altar and go our way instead. Today, Lord, we say we want to follow. We trust. We're willing to obey. Lead us. Help us to follow you is our prayer. In Jesus' name.